Good evening, everybody. If you would stand, we'll get started with our service. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Richard, it's good to see you this evening. Would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Take your hymnals, page number 423, "Joy to the World."
Joy. babe, a virgin birth. My God, the high and lofty one, you came to earth to be a slave, servant of all. You washed my feet, you took my fall. And though you were rich, you became poor, that you would die, that I might live. You poured out your soul, even to death, taking my sin, just to forgive me. Then they led you down the road to a hill called Calvary. You took the nails in your hands and feet. You drank the cup of wrath that was reserved for me. And though you were rich, you became poor, that you would die, that I might live. You poured out your soul, even to death, taking my sin, just to forgive me. Laid in the ground, a stone cold tomb, the wrath of God resting on you. You knew no sin, yet sin became. From the foundation, you are the Lamb who was slain. Up from the grave, you rose again. You hold the keys of death and hell, you conquered sin. You paid my debt, a costly price. I know that I will be with you in paradise. And though you were rich, you became poor, that you would die, that I might live. You poured out your soul, even to death, taking my sin, just to forgive. And though you were rich, you became poor, that you would die, that I might live. You poured out your soul, even to death, taking my sin, just to forgive me.
All right, how many of you know what I'm preaching about tonight? Preacher knows. I'm preaching about marriage tonight. Not because I have mastered marriage, right? Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Or don't. Okay. But it's because that's the next set of verses. That's in Ephesians, all right? So Ephesians chapter number 5. But also, it's because I want to have a good marriage. And so I study about it and try to read about it. And I try to learn what God would have for me to be a good husband. And so I hope that it will be a help to you tonight as we look at Ephesians 5. I won't have you stand yet, but you can turn there if you'd like to. This subject of marriage here that we're going to consider tonight from from verses 22 to 33 to the end of the chapter there, is a particular application of the general principle that we learned about a number of weeks ago from the verses right before that. And so Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21, we looked at the evidences of a Spirit-filled life. Not the how to get a Spirit-filled life, not what are the things you can do in order to receive it, but the natural results and natural evidences of one who is filled with the Spirit will be, we saw there in verse number 19, that there will be singing in your heart and to the Lord, singing one to another, being a help through song. That's an evidence of the Holy Spirit. Another one is in verse number 20, where we see giving thanks always for all things, even unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that this is an evidence that when you are filled with the Spirit, when the Spirit has control of you, it is a natural outflowing, a natural result that you will be grateful for all things and that you will sing. And then verse number 21, the natural result of being filled with the Spirit is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, that there'd be a spirit of deference one to another, that we would look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, that we would submit ourselves one to another. And so these verses here in verses 22 through the end of the chapter of speaking of marriage here is a particular application of that specific principle of being filled with the Spirit and having a spirit of submission one to another. And so we'll look at then now, if you will, and we'll stand together to read verse number 22 through the end of the chapter. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Tonight we're going to consider this idea, a Spirit-filled marriage. Spirit-filled marriage. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be together, to meet together in your house. Thank you for just everyone that is here. I ask that you would please help us as we look into your word. I ask that you would help me as I preach. You give me the words that I need to say that people stand in need of tonight. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. And Lord, I ask that you would please help me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The marriage background that Paul writes against is not a very pretty sight. As you look historically, and specifically in the Jewish realm, we think of the church at Ephesus here as a kind of a conglomeration of Jewish believers and Gentile believers, and specifically Greek, that area of the world. And so in the Jewish realm, in reality, the Jews had a pretty low view of marriage, though in theory, and what was supposed to be, a high view of marriage. God placed a high view of marriage in the law, and though there were some, very few, only a couple of instances where divorce was okay, we understand that Jesus cleared that up in the Sermon on the Mount. And so the Jews were supposed to have a very high view of marriage, but it ended up that in reality, as time went on and as people came in, and specifically some of the group of Pharisees, they would come in and twist the scriptures, and it ended up that the Jews would have a very low view of marriage. And as a result of that, they also had a very low view of women in general. there was a Jewish prayer that the Jewish men would say sometimes in the morning time. And there was a line in that prayer where they thanked God that they were not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. And so we see the terrible spot that the Jews were in, the Jewish people were in this time period. And not only in the Jewish realm, but also in the Greek world, that marriage was also very looked down on. Fidelity and marriage were essentially non-existent. Prostitution was a cultural staple because of the Temple of Diana and the Temple of Artemis. This was just a cultural norm. And so Greek women were brought up with no hope of fellowship or companionship in marriage. And that was the backdrop that Paul was writing to. But though the Jewish realm and the Greek realm had a low view of marriage, Christianity was supposed to change all of that. Because Jesus had a very high view of marriage and a very high view of women. And so we see that as a body of believers, that as they submitted themselves to God, that there would be a Spirit-filled marriage that would follow. Your marriage can be Spirit-filled. And we see this as we'll look at this tonight, that you can have a Spirit-filled marriage by having the right actions and the right motives for those actions. And we'll see that tonight. So number one, a Spirit-filled marriage has the right actions. The right actions. The first action we see there in verse number 22 is this, that a wife is supposed to submit to her husband. Verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What does submit mean? It means this: to be appointed under, to appoint yourself under. Submission does not mean inferiority. As well, submission does not mean silence. One could break down the word of submission into submission, right? That the wife is following along with the mission that the husband is on. And that mission is very clear. The mission for a believer, that a husband that's a believer, is to obey and glorify God. And so the husband goes with that mission to try to uplift Christ and try to follow what Christ wants. And the wife is in submission. Her mission is part of that mission to also obey and to honor and glorify God. And so the wife is appointed under that mission. Every action that the wife does should ultimately answer this question: does this glorify God? Ultimately, are your daily activities such that God is glorified? Is the schedule that you keep glorifying to God? Are the words and actions that you say as a wife, are they honoring to the Lord? Is the attitude that you have toward your husband that which is befitting to a Spirit-filled believer? Right? Because the idea is that the wife's job is to be submitting to the husband, that she would follow in that as well to honor and to glorify the Lord. And so we see the first action is that the wife submits to the husband. The second one is this, that the husband loves the wife. Verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Definition of love that I heard some time ago that's really stuck with me over the years is this. Love is the sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. The sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. What Paul stresses here is not necessarily the husband's authority over his wife, but his love for her. The husband's love for his wife. Rather, his authority is defined in terms of loving responsibility. A loving responsibility that you would love and, in essence, give yourself for your wife. Why? Because of love. Love. Paul here is, when speaking of the husband, he's not talking about an authoritarian ogre. Paul's focus in this passage is his care, not his authority, but his care. And so we see the husband's responsibility, though he does have, and there are other passages, and we understand this, that a husband's job is to lead, and he has the responsibility of that. But Paul's focus in this particular passage here is about care and is about love. And so we see that when love is the focus, leading will not be a problem. When love is the focus, leading will not be a problem. When you love your wife, it will help a lot of things. And so we see that Paul here shows us that the love that a husband have shows us the type of love that a husband is to have for his wife. In verse number 26 and 27, verse number 25, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The love that a husband is supposed to have for his wife is the love that Christ had for the church. It's a sacrificial love. A love that gave everything, right? Because it's not as though Jesus just came and provided some things. It's not as though he came and worked 40 hours a week to put a roof over the church's head. Jesus came to give his everything for the church, to literally lay down his life for the church. And so in that way, we have an example of what it means for a husband to love a wife. It's a sacrificial love, but it's also a sanctifying love. We see this in verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word for the betterment of the betterment of the church. That's why Jesus gave himself, so that we might be, verse number 27, holy and without blame, right? That's the idea for every believer, isn't it? Right? Back in Ephesians chapter number 1, you don't have to turn there, but it says there in verse number 4 of chapter number 1, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. There's that repeated phrase there, that Jesus came so that the church might be more like him. And as husbands, we must love our wives in such a way that they are better people, that they are better believers, that they are better Christians, that our relationship with God ought to be an example to them. And so we see that this is the love that we have. These are the actions that it takes to have a spirit-filled marriage. But it's not only about the actions. It's also about the motives. What are the motives? So we see number two, then, a spirit-filled marriage has the right motives. Letter A, it's a presentation of the gospel message. Marriage is a presentation of the gospel message. We've read the verses, so we won't read them again. But Paul's message concerning marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. That he because he loved, he came and he gave himself. And so as people look at our marriage, our marriage is supposed to be a picture of what God has done for the world. God loved and cared for the world so much that he came and he gave himself. And so we see the love that he gave. Ephesians 5:25 points to the love that Christ demonstrated historically on the cross. But verse 29 points to the continuing love of Christ. He still nurtures and cares for the church, and the church will be much stronger if it is more conscious of his ongoing love and presence. Because of the love and sacrifice that Jesus showed to the church should reciprocate that love by submitting itself to the Lord. Right. That's the idea. And so it's a presentation of the gospel message, but also it's sanctification of Christ. Verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Some people will take this phrase and insert their own kind of ideas about what it means to be baptized. Right. Some people will take this phrase here by itself, the washing of the water, and claim to believe in baptismal regeneration, but they conveniently leave out just the next three words. And so we understand that the washing of the water is by the word, that the preaching of God, the acceptance and the application of the preaching of the word of God to our lives is supposed to change us. It's supposed to make us better. The idea of church is not to just come and to sit in the chairs and to have a good time before or after and to catch up with your friends. The point of church is to have a time of an application of the Word of God, that we might be sanctified, that we might be more like Christ. And so great news, even for those of you who are not married in here, there's application for you, that this idea that Christ desires for you to be sanctified, for you to live a holy and blameless life, and that's possible when we apply God's Word to our lives. When we are washed by the water of the Word, that we can become more like Him. And so God's design for the believer is that they should be holy and without blemish. And just as God's plan for the church is sanctification, God's plan for marriage is holiness, not happiness. It's holiness, not happiness. It's important that we get that right. Is there happiness in marriage? There should. I hope that there is. I hope that there's happiness in your marriage. But that's not the entire point of it. The main entire goal of marriage is not happiness. But it is our eternal enemy's purpose to try to get us to prioritize happiness in marriage over holiness. Marriage is supposed to make us better. It's supposed to bring us closer to the Lord. And so, what are we talking about here tonight then? The manifestation of the spirit-filled Ephesian wife was submission to her husband. And the manifestation of the spirit-filled husband was his love for her. and it is the same for Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple. Husbands, if you are Spirit-filled, you will have love for your wife. It's just a natural result of it. It's not something that we do to try to be Spirit-filled, but naturally, if we are being controlled by the Spirit, we will love our wives. Wives, it's natural for you, if you're Spirit-filled, to be submissive to your husband. That's a natural outpouring of it. And so we see this, that. So I want to ask you tonight, are you Spirit-filled in your marriage? Husbands and wives, think about it. Are you Spirit-filled in your marriage? Wives, are you submissive to your husbands? Is your mission in life to be submitted under His mission, which is to honor and glorify God? Are you submitted to Him? Husbands, are you loving your wife? Not just, well, you know, I'm doing the things and I'm saying the words and, I told her that I love her the day we got married, and if anything changes, I'll let her know, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the same way that Christ loved the church. Are you loving your wife? Do you have a sacrificial love for her? That's a natural outpouring of having a Spirit-filled life, that you would be loving to your wife. And so maybe some of you are saying, well, you know, maybe some of you husbands are saying, well, you don't know my wife, right? You don't know her. And maybe some of you wives are saying, well, you don't know my husband, right? So I want to encourage you with this, and this is some advice from my father-in-law that I got, and that is this: learn your own verse. Learn your own verse, right? Husbands, your verse is husbands love your wives. That's your verse. And learn that one. Wives, your verse is not husbands love your wives. Right? Your verse is wives submit to your husbands. Right? It's a personal responsibility. It's not I'm going to love him if I'm it's not I'm going to love her if she does this. It's not I'm going to submit to him if he does this. It's I'm going to love her. Just that. I'm going to submit to him. That's it. Why? Because it's your responsibility. It's a personal responsibility. Jesus talked to Peter in John chapter number 21, not about marriage, but about this idea of personal responsibility. And he was talking to Peter, and he said, you know the story, that he goes to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, well, of course I do. And so Jesus says, feed my lambs. And they go through that a couple more times. And so then Jesus says, Peter, I want you to follow me. And Peter says, well, but what about this guy? And he looks over at John. He says, what is this guy going to do? And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, what is that to thee? You follow me. Right. It doesn't matter what John's going to do. You have a responsibility to do what I've called you to do. And so husbands, you have a responsibility to love your wives. That's your verse. So learn your verse. Wives, learn your verse. Wives, submit to your husbands. Learn your own verse. And then I want to encourage you in this, a very shameless plug. Go to the couples retreat. Right? Go to the couples retreat. Sometimes I think we should have the testimonies from the couples retreat in January. Right? Sometimes I think that, so that we can get ready, so that we can prepare for it. Maybe some of us have forgotten what our testimonies were. Maybe that's the case. Maybe why we don't do it in January. Maybe we forgot what we learned. Maybe we hadn't been doing it. But I want to encourage you that you would go to the couples retreat. It just makes sense that you would make that investment in your marriage. It just makes sense, right? Because maybe you look at the paper, and the paper's out there that has the different sessions that different people will teach and will preach. And so maybe you look at that list and you see the topics that they're going to talk about, and you think, man, I need this. I need this session right here. And so if for nothing else, I'm going to go for that. And maybe you look at the list and maybe you don't really see a topic that sticks out. But so you go and you just pick one at random, and it might be that class is exactly what you need, and you had no idea that you were going to need it, right? But so I would encourage you to go, because there's a lot of time to learn, but there's also just a lot of time to be together as husband and wife, right? When was the last time that you were just together by yourselves without the kids, right? Maybe, oh, you know what? There was that one time where I was at the store. And I was picking up some stuff for supper, and I randomly saw her at the store, and there was no kids, and that was the only time we've seen each other, and that was 6 months ago. That's not enough time together, right? So go to the couples retreat and spend some time alone together that's intentional and is purposeful toward helping you grow closer together and closer to the Lord. Go to the couples retreat and then grow together as a husband and wife, even if you don't go, but I hope that you do go. Grow together as a husband and wife and grow together closer to the Lord, right? Because that's the idea, is holiness, not happiness. And so challenge each other. The marriage relationship enhances each other as individuals and as Christians. And so challenge each other to grow closer to the Lord. Help each other in your daily walk with Christ. Help each other to be more like who we are supposed to be like. Help each other to be holy and without blame before Him in love. I want to end with a quote that will hopefully sum up what we have discussed this evening. Both the husband and wife love and submit to one another, and both the husband and wife love and submit to the Lord. They're both an action of love and of sacrifice, the submission and the love. And so as we do that, then we grow closer to the Lord. And so here's the quote that I want to end with this evening is this: each for the other and both for the Lord. Each for the other and both for the Lord. Do you have a Spirit-filled marriage tonight? I hope that you do. And if you don't, I hope that you'll be willing to work on it and willing to admit, hey, I need to work on some stuff, right? Father, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us the ability to work on these things. And Lord, that you've given us the wisdom that you've revealed to us in your word, the things that we're to do. And Lord, I ask you'd help us that are married, that you would help us to have a Spirit-filled marriage. Lord, that you would help the husbands that are here, that they would love their wives as you love the church. And Lord, I ask you would be with the wives that are here this evening, that you would help them to submit to their husbands as the church is subject to you. And Lord, I ask that for those that are not here, that they would understand that their purpose as a church member is to grow together, to grow toward you, that they might be holy and without blame before you in love. And so I ask that you please help us this evening to submit to what you have for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we all stand together, as the piano begins to play, if the Lord spoke into your heart, maybe there's something you need to work on. Maybe it's just a touch-up. Maybe you weren't wanting to go to the couples retreat. Maybe you want to decide to do that. Whatever your need is, I ask that you'd help. That you'd ask the Lord for help as Brother Jared sings verse number one.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the
couple of announcements before we go. If you are wanting to get any end of the year donations into the church, those will be by Wednesday, December the 29th. And thank you to all who signed up. We filled up the paper for church cleaning, and so I thank you for that. And again, the couples retreat, February 17 and 18, or February 18 and 19, either Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday. Please register and pay by January 23rd. And that will be, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit at the meeting that's on January 2nd, but that's a personal responsibility to sign up and to pay for that online. Deacons and trustees meeting on Wednesday, December 29th, and then brown bag service on January 2nd. And then also patch the pirate classes will resume on Wednesday, January the 5th. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Aaron, if you would.